Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
Find Matthew, the 8th chapter. Now, you may not remember, it's kind of been broken up. I've been gone, we've had guest speakers. But we've been talking about a revelation of authority. Thank you for your excitement. Y'all going to help me tonight? I'm going to have to preach and say amen for myself, amen. You know, we've just been talking about that because, Paul prayed that. He prayed it for the church that they would have in Ephesians chapter 1, that they would get a revelation of authority. Yes. Not that they would have it, but that they would know about it, because they already have it. But if you don't know about it, what you don't know about won't do any good. But Jesus has stripped the devil of his power and given us the victory. Yes. You know, the Bible even says he took the sting out of death. Right. I remember when I was a kid, I used to catch bees, you know, in a jar. And I used to do this trick with them, you know, to impress other kids, or even adults if I could. But I'd catch the bees and get them in a jar. And, you know, if you shake it enough, you disorient the bee. And when you let him out, he can't fly. He can still sting you, but he can't fly. He's disoriented. And so I would get him and flip him on his back and press on his back part till the stinger stuck out, and then I'd pull it out. And then I'd put him on me, and he'd just crawl all over me because he's disoriented. He won't fly for a while. And people would see that. What a brave kid. He lets bees crawl on him. But they didn't know. I'd remove the stinger. Jesus has removed the stinger. Hallelujah. The devil may try to crawl on you, but he can't sting you any longer. It's been removed. Amen. We have authority. Hallelujah. So I want to talk about this again tonight. I think I'm going to stop with this tonight and do something else on Sunday morning. But I just felt led of the Holy Spirit. I've been preaching this on Sunday morning, but I just felt led of the Spirit just to talk about this tonight and start something else on Sunday morning. So find Matthew 8, if you would. And verse number 5 says, when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, Matthew 8, 5, there came to him a centurion. Now this is a captain over 100 men in the Roman army, beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lies at home sick of the palsy. He's grievously tormented. Jesus said unto him, I'll come and heal him. Isn't that the way the Lord always was? Yeah. I'll come and heal him. I'll do that. And the centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. Amen. The King James, he says, for I am a man, for I also, and a lot of translations will add the also in there, and it's important to help you think a certain way. For I also, this centurion says, am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. I say to this man, go, and he goes into my, to another, come, and he comes to my servant, do this, and he does it. And when Jesus heard it, he marveled, and he said unto them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. Isn't that something? Yeah. You find there's two times in the Bible that it says Jesus marveled. He marveled at faith, and he marveled at unbelief. Which side do you want to marvel him on? I'm going to take the faith side. Amen? And so, but I want to back up here, and I'm going to just spend a little time here at this scripture and some other scriptures I want to look at tonight. But I want to back up here because this isn't new revelation, but it needs to be heard over and over again. Jesus was impressed with this man's faith. Now, he's not even an Israelite. He's a Roman. He's a centurion. But he has a handle on something here. And he told Jesus, he said, don't bother to come to my house. Just speak the word. My servant will be healed. And he explains to Jesus why he said that. He said, for I'm also a man under authority. In other words, I recognize you, Jesus, as under authority. I'm also under authority. How many know authority comes from someplace else? It doesn't originate with yourself. It comes from God. Well, I'm also a man under authority, having soldiers under me. I say go, and he goes, and to another come, and he comes, and to my servant do this, and he does it. So he's simply saying, I understand this, that if you are under authority, you have authority. Now, this is real vital to teach this to believers, because unbelievers are not under God's authority. But believers are supposed to be. But not all believers stay submitted to God's authority. And we're going to talk about that tonight, and it'll affect your authority. And I'm going to show you that tonight. Now go to James chapter 4. We're going to look at, you know, just a few scriptures, and then we'll be done tonight. But this is really important. How many want to have victory in your life?
Amen.
And have authority over the things the devil brings your way? Amen. And we know Jesus came to destroy, to unloosen, to dissolve the works of the devil. And the Bible tells us what some of those works are. Jesus went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Amen. So I don't know about you, I want to know my authority. This is stuff I cut my teeth on. Y'all hearing me? This is what I grew up on. I'm not talking about physically grew up. I didn't know the Lord till I was, you know, wasn't born again till I was 21. But spiritually speaking, I grew up on this. And our guys in that day worked this stuff. And we saw a lot of things happen. A lot of healings and so forth. But today, you know, I don't know that people are, you know, they just kind of take life as it comes. Not me, man. I'm not taking life as it comes. Because it doesn't, you know, someone said, how's life treating you? Life's never treated me very well. But God's always treated me good.
Amen.
Amen. And Jesus said, I've overcome all this mess in life. So, you know, there's all kinds of crazy people out there. All kinds of goofy things. You know what I'm saying? You know, all kinds of sicknesses and diseases and things. Life's never been good to me, you know. I've had a good life because of Jesus. Amen. You know, when I was younger, he's still alive. Joe Walsh used to do a song, Life's Been Good to Me So Far. Well, life's never been good to me. And I don't think, no offense, but I don't know that he knew what really a good life is. Living for Jesus is the good life. That's the high life. You know, the rest of this, you can't trust any of this. You know, you can't trust people. You can't trust the devil. You can't trust the government. You can't trust, I don't mean to put suspicion in. You know, you can't trust anything. But you can trust God. I'm not trying to overthrow the government, okay, for Facebook. But you know what I'm saying? You just can't believe everything, right? You know what I'm saying? All right, now, so here in James chapter 4, verse 7, it tells us, submit yourselves, therefore, to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you.
Amen.
Notice it doesn't say he's going to flee from God, he's going to flee from you.
Right.
So, all right, we've used this scripture in this teaching, and we've made the comparison to fleeing from the cops. Why do you run from the cops? Because they have authority, and you've done something wrong. Well, if the devil's going to flee from you, he must know you have authority. But the point that I want to make tonight is the first thing he says is submit yourselves to God.
Right.
Be submitted to God. In other words, when you're under God's authority, the devil's under your authority.
Right.
You submit to God, then you resist. Resist means to stand against the devil, and he will flee from you. Well, what if you're not submitted to God's authority? Well, he's not going anywhere. He doesn't have to. How many know that? I said he doesn't have to. How many know that? But notice, it's a three-step process. You know, submit, resist, or you have to stand against. Did y'all get that? See, if you don't stand against it. See, there's some things in my life right now I'm standing against. I'm not just accepting it. I'm not just saying it's life and I'm getting older and things like this happen. No. I don't, I know things change when you get older, but I'm still redeemed from sickness.
Amen.
Amen. You know, and everything's supposed to still work.
Yep. Amen.
Amen. And so you got to, but you got to, I mean, you got to resist the devil. You got to stand against it. And when we say the devil, you know, the devil's just not out. You know, it's not him personally attacking every one of us. You know, I told you the story years ago in children's church, not in this church, but at the Revival Center. At children's church, we would do these skits and stuff. You know, you would take a verse. The way we did children's church is, let's just say, I think that morning this was the verse. Submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So what we would do is we would take 10-minute segments. We would teach through a puppet skit. We'd teach through illustration, you know, things like that. Teach through a little sermon for 10 minutes and all, you know, just to get that one scripture ground in those kids. And so the skit that morning was this. It was about this verse, resist the devil, he'll flee from you. And what the skit was a guy was going to come in dressed in a devil costume with packages. He had a package of sin and then sickness. I don't remember what the other ones were, but he had a package. And he was going to come into church, and we're teaching the children what to do when the devil comes in. The only problem was one kid in the church thought the literal devil had come into children's church. He took it literally. But he preached the sermon that morning too. When he saw that guy come in, he got up. We had those folding chairs. He got up and stood on his chair like this, pointed at the guy and said, I rebuke you, Satan, in Jesus' name. That was the end of the skit. The guy just had to, the guy had enough sense to know what to do. He just walked out. It's like, we're done. He preached. Oh, man, we could have just said, okay, let's go home. This, well, I don't know, he's probably 5 or 6 or whatever he was, 7-year-old, just preached today's sermon with excellence. He demonstrated it. But it was pretty thrilling to know the little guy knew what to do when he thought the little devil had come into children's church. Well, you know, the literal devil isn't following every one of us around, but he's got people that work for him. And there are things that are of him, like sickness and disease and lack and discouragement, et cetera, sin. Those are all of him. They're his works that we have to stand against. We have to resist. We have to say, no, I'm not going to have you. I'm not going to put up with you. I got to stand against you. Amen. Come on. You know, I mean, we all fight things. I want you to understand, you know, you don't go through life without fighting things. I've never met anybody who says, well, I've never had any battles in my life, you know, except people that are nutty and they have a real battle mentally, all right? Because we all have them. But it's what we do. Do we stand against them or do we just take life as it comes? And you have to discern, you know. You say, I know when things, certain things come, maybe it isn't the literal devil, but it came from him, right? All bad came from him. It didn't come from God. So the formula here is pretty simple. If you submit to God, if you're under his authority, the devil's under your authority.
That's right.
Amen. Amen. Look at, I tell you what, let's go to Romans chapter. Oh, you get anything tonight?
Yeah.
Romans chapter 5, go there. Romans chapter 5, I want to read this to you because Paul's talking to Christians here. And so we need to point that out before we read this verse. Romans chapter 5. No, I'm sorry. Yeah, no. Let me find it. Sorry. Is it Romans 5 or is it Romans 6? Yeah, no, I don't know. Hang on. It's Romans 6. Romans 6. Yeah, I have to change that. Romans 6. Go there. Romans 6:15, Paul said, what then? Shall we sin? Because we're not under the law, but under grace. How many know the answer to that? Right? The King James says, God forbid. Some translations say, may it never be. In other words, absolute no. It's because we're under grace. So who is he talking to? Who's he talking to? He's talking to believers, right? All right. But notice the next verse. Know you not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. Now that's important. He's talking to Christians. And he says, if you yield yourself to Satan, you're serving him at that point. Now that doesn't mean that you're not born again, but just that in that part of your life, you're a servant of the devil. Now, how many know if you're a servant of the devil, you can't rebuke the devil and him flee? He's not going to go anywhere. He's a legalist. Amen. And he'll take every. That's why the Bible says don't give him any ground. Give him no place or don't give him any ground. It's real important that we understand we have to remain under God's authority. That doesn't mean we're perfect, but it just means that, you know, if we know there's things in our life that doesn't belong there, we got to get rid of that. Right. Amen. Amen. Are y'all with me?
Yes.
It's hard to have authority when you're on your enemy's side. Yeah. It's hard to get him to flee. Amen. You know, if you've ever cast demons out, you realize this: if you give them legal grounds not to go, they'll take it. Amen. Mm-hmm. Anyway, praise the Lord. Everybody, praise the Lord.
Amen.
Say, this is good preaching. That was weak. Amen. We got to understand. We got to make sure we're under God's authority. Amen. Have you know the Bible says rebellion is the sin of what? Witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Right. So they'll get you in trouble, won't it? Look at Colossians chapter. We're looking at some scripture tonight. I hope you're staying with me. Go to Colossians chapter 1. Go there. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13, it says, who hath delivered us, talking about the Father, from the power or the authority of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. So you and I have been put into a kingdom. Now, a kingdom has something called a king. Which means, how many, and there's laws in the kingdom. See, the laws in America may be different from the laws in another country. The things that you do here, you might not be able to do over there. Right? Some of our states now, for whatever goofy reason, have decided it's good that people should smoke marijuana. Did you know that? Listen, I've smoked marijuana, BC, before Christ, all kinds of it. I want to say tons of it. And it does not produce anything good. It was kind of like several years ago, one of our colleges here in town, one of our universities, had decided that they would vote to allow alcohol on campus. Everybody, now there's no kids in here, so you heard what Miss Phyllis said? Stupid. You have enough problems without drunk kids. Right? How stupid can you be? How's that going to help the university? How's that going to help the students learn? How's that going to make your job easier? Stupid. But stupid people do stupid things, and people are stupid when they don't know the Lord. I don't take any of that back. That's just stupid. And really, I don't apologize. That's just stupid because you should know better than that.
Amen.
You don't even have to be saved to know alcohol and kids doesn't go together on a college campus. All you got to do is look at the results. That's just being stupid. That's not ignorant. That's stupid. Ignorant means you just don't know. Stupid means you know and you did it anyway. All right, praise the Lord. But anyway, this thing with marijuana and all, and, you know, and states have made it legal. We had one of our lady basketball players was over in Russia, and she had her stuff. It's not legal over there. They arrested her, and stupid Americans are going, bad, bad, bad Russians. She broke their law. You better know the law when you go someplace. There's laws in that kingdom. When I go to another country, I pay attention to what they say. I like driving on the left side of the road. To me, it makes the most sense. But someplace, right side of the road. The other left, you know. The right side of the road. But you know, I go places where they drive on the left side of the road. To me, it's like, this is dumb. But if I would drive, which I don't, but if I was to drive, I'd have to do it by their law, not the way I think is right. I just think being on the right side of the road is the right way. How many agree with that?
Yes.
I think, look, I think miles, not kilometers, right? I think the other's just dumb. I'm not saying it is. I'm just telling you what I think. Because I grew up this way, right? All right. So my good friend, Pastor Ingolf, was in L.A. And he, you know, he's from Germany. On the Autobahn, in most places, there's no speed limit. Go as fast as you think you could do it. I mean, they'd go 120. And so he gets over here, and he's driving, and he's going down the interstate in L.A., and all of a sudden, a cop comes up behind him with his lights on because he's going way over the speed limit. But he doesn't think they're after him. And he's thinking, why doesn't he go around me? So he said, he rolls down his window and flags him around. Go on around. What's the problem here? And he said, finally, he got up behind me and points at me like I'm after you. So he says, I pull off. He said, I didn't know this. You don't do this in America. He said, I got out of my car and start walking back towards him. I said, yeah, that'll get you shot here. He said, well, that's the way you do it in Germany. You're not in Germany, brother. This is a different kingdom. And so the state trooper asked him for his license, and he doesn't have him on him. But you may not know this, but Pastor Ingolf's a pilot. So he hands him his pilot's license. So this state trooper takes him back. He goes back and checks on. He figures it out. This guy's from Germany. He doesn't know what he's doing. So he walks back up to Pastor Ingolf. He hands him his pilot's license. He says, next time, fly a little higher. And let him go. See, there's laws over there. You can do 120 or you can do 90 on the Autobahn. You can do those things. You can't do that on the freeways here and not get in trouble. See, God's kingdom has laws. How many know that? We're in the kingdom of God. It has laws, and you need to know what the laws are. Well, how do I know what the laws is? Well, how did you know what the laws are when you were driving? You read. You studied. You read a book. People today still don't know how to drive. You come to an intersection, and they think, if I stopped here first, I get to go. No, the person that's crossing the center line has to yield and wait. Read the book. Am I getting aggravated? Really, man, I'm just like, what are you doing going? It's my turn. I'm going straight. You're turning across the center line. I don't care if you got here first. I have the right of way. But they don't read the book. You know what I'm saying? I mean, kids today don't even, you know, sometimes some of them don't even know how to do a lot of things because they don't teach it any longer. Well, you understand, in God's kingdom, there's laws. And we have to abide by the laws. Right?
Amen.
Amen. We can't be rebellious and expect to have authority. It's not going to work. Remember the centurion, I'm a man under authority. I have people under me. I say go, they go. I say come, and they come. I mean, we have to submit to something called the Lordship of Jesus. You can't, you see, here's where I think, personally, where the modern church misses it a lot, is all they want to talk about is forgiveness of sins. Come to Jesus, your sins are forgiven, past, present, and future. That's all they want to talk about. Wait a minute. For this cause, Jesus both died, Romans 14, both died, was buried, and rose again, that he might be Lord. We need more than just forgiveness of sins. We need the Lordship of Jesus in our life. Thank God for forgiveness of sins, but somebody should have told you the God that forgave you also is your Lord. He's not just your Savior. He's your Lord. This is real important. We took this seriously when I got saved, that he's Lord, and whatever he said, we did it. I just let go of stuff because he's Lord now. Right? We, you know, when we found out, we changed it because we're in the kingdom of God now. We didn't try to see what we could get away with. We didn't see how much we could do and still make it to heaven, which today they just tell you, get your ticket punched and everything's okay. But did you know the Bible has a lot of ifs in it? If you continue in the faith, if you're not moved away from the hope of the gospel, you say you don't believe in once saved, always saved. If you want to believe that, you better live like it. Amen. No, I don't believe it. Never will, never have, never did. Now, I don't believe you lose your salvation because you sinned. But it's when you turn from the gospel, when you turn from the Lord. Amen. The Bible says if we willfully sin, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. What does that mean? Well, if we're just, now, you know, when you think about that verse, nobody just accidentally sins. Nobody said, oh, gosh, you know, I accidentally lied. I accidentally, you know, stole that, you know, payday from the grocery store. It was an accident. And then what happened? How many of that didn't happen? But what it's talking about when we willfully sin, we just say, forget it. I'm just going to live this way. You understand? I mean, there's a big difference in being tempted and yielding to temptation and a person who says, I'm just going to live this way. Right. See, we have supposedly Christians that are just living in sin, all kinds of sin, and they say, well, grace has got me covered. You're willfully doing it. Yeah. You are no longer partaking of the high priestly ministry of Jesus in the forgiveness of sins. Right. I don't care what preacher tells you you are. The Bible says if we willfully sin, there remains no more sacrifice for our sins. How can Jesus pay the price for something that you choose to do? Willfully live that way. Now, you understand there's a line there where all of us, whenever we sin, we decided to do it. The devil didn't make us do it. But it was yielding through temptation or whatever. But we don't choose to live that way. Is this making sense to you? This is Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26, if you want to look it up sometime. But the Bible warns us about that, not just thinking that we can get saved and go live our own lifestyle. We got to stay submitted to the Lordship of Jesus. Amen. I've just learned over the years that most people's problems are a lordship issue. They haven't made Jesus Lord in some area of their life, and they have an issue there. And there's no way to fix it. Look, if both people in a marriage make Jesus Lord, that means they're going to do what he said. Are we going to have all kinds of marriage breakups? Of course not. Hey, guys, come on. You know, I know you can go through hours of counseling, marriage counseling. I'm not against that. But the Bible is real simple about how to have a good marriage. It says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. How many of you do that? Probably got your end fixed, don't we, Bubba? Come on. I mean, no, your deal's probably fixed, Bubba. So you're probably going to have a woman that's pretty happy. Wives, submit, respect, some translators say, your husbands as you do the Lord. Having enough the wife does that, she's probably going to have a good, happy Bubba on her hands. So what if both do it? They're submitted to the Lordship of Jesus. How many think we're going to have a good marriage? Amen. So you come for a pastor for marriage counseling. I'll say, husband, love your wife like Christ loved the church. Wife, submit and respect your husband as you would the Lord. See ya. Well, sometimes you have to do a little bit of explaining and say, hey, that's not acting like Christ, and don't do that. How many understand that? But that's basically all Paul said about the whole thing in Ephesians chapter 5. And he got it from the Holy Spirit. God, working, you know, living for God's not hard. Just do what he said. It's not hard. And he'll bless you, and you'll get blessed. Amen? So how many know we're in a kingdom? We got a king. He's the Lord in his kingdom. All right, let's look at, we got a little bit more time left. Let's look at Matthew chapter 11. Go there. Matthew 11. And this is, you know, this, it may not sound like we're talking about authority a lot, but we really are. We're basing it off what the centurion said, and Jesus called that great faith, didn't he? He called it great faith. We didn't read on, but his servant got healed. But he called it great faith. And so, you know, I see people with all kinds of issues, and I just know if you'll just submit yourself to the Lordship of Jesus in different areas of your life, that stuff will work. It'll work out. It'll work out. Amen. Matthew 11, verse 28, Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. How many want some of that? Yeah. Take my yoke upon you. So how many, there is a yoke to serve in the Lord. And learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. You'll find rest unto your souls. Take my yoke, for my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Now, you know, you see, you know, we don't know much about yokes today because that's not, you know, that's not our, we have tractors. Right. But, you know, they used to yoke the two oxen together to plow with, put them together. They put a yoke, keep them together so they stayed together. And when they were plowing and so forth. And so that's what that yoke was. It was a wooden thing that went around their necks. And you'd yoke two oxen together, and they would do the plowing. Well, that yoke was all right unless one oxen wanted to go this way and another one wanted to go that way. Then that yoke got uncomfortable, see, because the yoke really became bondage because you're trying to go two separate ways. Right. Well, the same thing's true with the yoke of the Lord. It's easy as long as you stay going the same way he's going.
Right.
Amen. See, if you go the way he's going, look, I don't know about you. I don't. I don't just obey the Lord just so people think good of me.
Right.
I obey the Lord because I love him.
Right.
He's my Lord.
Right. Right.
And I want to go the same direction he's going.
Amen.
See, so and people don't think about the small things, right? You know, I was thinking about this the other day, and I know my pastor, you say, okay, pastors always talk about come to church. Well, the Bible says don't forsake the assembling yourselves together. Now, how many believers have done that? How many believers? Oh, millions. And how many of them have problems? Why? They're not yoked up with Jesus in that area. He said some things. You know, Jesus loves the local church. When he sent seven letters, he sent them to the churches. He said, I know what's going on in the church. He said, when you read it there in Revelation, he talks about the seven stars, the seven candlesticks. You know, the seven stars, the seven candles. He said, I'm the one that walks in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks with, you know, the seven stars. I can't remember, but let me read it to you because I'm kind of messing it up. But it's just real important that we understand that Jesus loves the local church. I said, Jesus loves the local church. He's the one that set it up that way. Amen. But he said this. He said, he said, the mystery of the seven stars which you saw in my right hand and the seven golden candlesticks, the seven stars are the angels or the messengers, or we would say today, the pastors of the churches. The seven candlesticks are which you saw are the seven churches. And he said, unto the angel of the church at Ephesus I write. I mean, no, he's not talking to a literal angel. You know, he's not sending a letter to a literal angel. The Father doesn't write letters to angels. They hearken to the voice of his word. But the word angel means the messenger. So today that we would call that the pastor. The things things saith he, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand. In other words, he's got the messengers in his right hand and walks in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. What's he saying? I visit those local churches. Right. I know what's going on. So I told everyone, I know your works.
Right.
I'm interested in a local church. But yeah, we got believers that don't go to the local church. They're not, and they wonder why they're having a problem. Because you're yoked up with Jesus and you're trying to go a different direction.
Right.
And we could say that about a lot of things. What about tithing? Well, I hit a soft spot in this floor right there. But help me understand, all these things, I've chosen whatever the Word says I'm going to do. I'm just not perfect at it. Don't misunderstand me. But I've chosen, I'm going to do what the Word says. I'm going to stay yoked up with Jesus because His yoke is easy. His burden is light. When I do what He says, my life is light and easy.
Right.
When it gets difficult, it's because I'm trying to go the other way. Then He's going. And he and I, through the new birth, are yoked together.
Right. Come on now.
And so I'm going to do what he says. But you mean Christians are like, well, I don't. Where do you go to church? Oh, I don't go to church. I can go to heaven without going to church. Well, yeah, you can. You'll probably get there faster by not knowing the word. Well, I'm just as good a Christian as you are. And I don't go to church. Like a guy told John Osteen, Brother Osteen, one time. He said, I heard all your preaching on tithing and giving. He said, I want you to know I'm rich and I don't tithe. I'm rich and I don't tithe. Pastor Rose, he was a wise man in his days. He just patted the guy on the shoulder. He said, wait till the weasel hits the chicken coop. It's coming. Tithing and giving is an insurance policy. That's what Ecclesiastes teaches. Amen. Are y'all with me? Have I preached you into oblivion? Let you understand. Listen now. This is real important because this has something to do with our authority. If we don't submit to the authority of God, it's just like that. The centurion said, "I'm a man also under authority, and I just say words and they get obeyed." I understand, Jesus. You're under your Father's authority. You say words and they have to come to pass. What happens if that centurion bucks his superior, he loses all authority? What happens if the president, he gives an ambassador authority, sends him to a country, and the ambassador says, don't listen to anything our president's got to say. I don't believe him. You know, the guy's nuts. How many know he doesn't have any authority any longer? Because he's not under the authority that sent him. Amen. See, I learned that a long time ago. When I go into a church to preach, I'm under the pastor's authority. I don't go there to do my own thing. And I've had preachers that did that before. They get up and say things they know you don't believe, or your church doesn't preach, and they know you don't believe it, know you don't preach it, and get up and say it. I'm done with them. Because if you're that rebellious, I don't need you in my pulpit putting that in our people. Spirits transfer. I don't want that. Y'all, you know what I'm talking about, but you know, there's certain things I won't talk about in the local church without asking the pastor. You know, I believe that Jesus Christ is coming for us in the rapture of the church.
Amen.
Thank you for your enthusiasm. I believe he's coming. I believe he's coming before the tribulation. You know, not every church believes that. But you know, before I would ever preach that in a church, I'll ask the pastor, hey, here's what I believe. Is this okay? Oh, well, I just stand for truth. Well, you don't know much about authority. That is a truth that's a truth, absolutely. But it's not going to make heaven or hell for people. If you believe he's coming midway, enjoy yourself. We'll keep your food warm till you get there. They're having tacos at the Marriage Supper of the Lamb. Read your Bible. I added that part. That's from the New Perverted Translation. How many understand what I'm talking about? You know, there's just certain things, certain doctrines I won't preach on because it's the pastor's job. I don't even go into a church and preach on tithing unless I ask the pastor. I believe in tithing. It's in the book. But that's generally a pastor's job to do that and teach that to his people. So I stay submitted. I know one time I was preaching in Nashville for a pastor, and I told him, I said, look, I think the Lord's dealing with me to preach on tithing. And I said, I'm not going to do it unless you tell me it's okay. Go for it, brother. He not only went for it, he copied that message and sent it to all these people, the ones that didn't show up. So, but see, I'll do that. I'm under their authority. I'll go on. When I go to church, I'll ask a pastor, anything you want me to say or you don't want me to say? Anything you want me to leave alone? Or anything you want me to talk about? I'm under his authority. Most of them, I very seldom have ever had one say anything. Most of them say, just be led by the Holy Ghost. I'm good with that. But, you know, if I know, if I know there's maybe something where we disagree on, look, I won't preach on that. I don't have to. There's many other things in the Bible. I preached for a Baptist guy asked me to come and preach one time. Well, I didn't get up there and preach to his people about, you got to speak in tongues or you're going to hell. Of course, I don't believe that, but you know what I'm saying? I didn't get up and make that an issue. Why, there's all kinds of things in the Bible to preach on. I don't have to go up there and blow his church up. And, you know, that's not what he called me for. He called me to bless his church. Now, if they ask me after the service, you believe in speaking tongues? Oh, yeah. I'm not going to lie about it.
Right, right.
But I got plenty of things to preach on without bucking your authority. Amen. I'll ask them, how long do you want me to go? And they say, as long as you want. Are you sure? Because I'm under authority. If you don't get this, you have a hard time defeating the devil in areas of your life. Because God's big on authority. When Satan bucked God's authority, that is it. Amen. You understand that? So, even the angels, they won't mess with you. You know, God said to Israel, I'll close with this. We won't go to the scripture, but God said to Israel, well, maybe I'll look at one more scripture just if we have time. But God said to Israel, when he was taking him into the promised land, he said, I'm going to send an angel before you. He said, obey his voice, hearken unto him, for he will not pardon your transgressions. Now, it sounds like that angel's an unforgiving lot, but what that really means, if you study it out, is he just won't overlook them. He won't just overlook. I mean, if you sin, as far as that angel's concerned, You're in rebellion unto God. He's not just going to wink at it. All right? And one time I was reading a scripture in Corinthians, it's 1 Corinthians 11:10, and it says, for this cause a woman ought to have a authority on her head or a covering or be under a submission, you know what I'm saying? Bible submission because of the angels. Now, I read that verse, Mark, I think, what's the angels got to do with it? Then I got the revelation. If a woman, and it would be the same thing with a man, but it's just talking about a woman at that place. If she gets in rebellion in that marriage covenant, the angels aren't getting involved in that. They've seen rebellion before. They saw a third of the angels fall. They're not going anywhere near it.
Right.
And that's what God was telling Israel. He won't, look, I'm sending an angel to get you in there. But if you disobey me, he won't overlook your transgressions. He won't help you. He won't help you who disobey me. Come on, y'all with me? You kind of suck an air on that one, but that's all in the Bible. And so we need to know that. Now let's close out. Let's go here to Proverbs 25, I believe it is. Proverbs 25. So it's real important that we stay under God's authority, amen, and that we, none of us are perfect, but it's like God said to Samuel, the Lord looks on the heart, amen, and the guy that the Lord picked messed up, didn't he, David, but when Samuel was going to anoint David, the Lord said, he told Samuel, I look on the heart. In other words, he saw David had a right heart. Now, David wasn't perfect. He messed up, but he had a heart. When he messed up, he repented, got it right, got it fixed. Let's go on. Let's live right. Amen. So, sometimes people make mistakes, But, you know, it's just a mistake of the flesh, not a mistake of the heart. Am I talking to the right people? You know, I think I told you guys, I think it was here, I wish we didn't even have any temptation. Wouldn't that be awesome? None, zero, nilch, nada. Started to say zada, but I made that up. Nada. You understand what I'm talking about, see? But I wish we didn't, because my heart's to do what's right. It's your flesh that trips you up. Right? You can be sincere about something, and if you don't take authority over your flesh, it'll trip you up. How many have sincerely determined to lose weight? How many have been tripped up? I don't know if I can tell this. What you told me the other day, you said, I give some more lenience since I'm having problems myself.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, somebody was like kind of messing around. It's like, why don't you get it right? Why don't you straight? Well, why don't you do the right thing and you won't have all these problems in your life.
So they knew what the right thing was.
Oh, you said they knew what the right thing was to do. And then she came back a little later and said, well, I repent. I know how to lose weight too, and I'm not doing it. Like she needs to all that much, you know. And I concur. I said, yeah, you know, we've all got our flesh. But, you know, your heart can be right. Your flesh can trip you up. Does that make sense to you? I said, does that make sense to you?
Yes.
Amen. But we got to grow, right? We got to grow to where we don't let our flesh dominate us and rule us. And we're still working on that. Even Paul said he had to keep his body under, right? Well, he's a great apostle. If he had to, I mean, no, we still have to. Amen. I let mine say some things here the other day, not cussing, but I said some things that, you know, I'm not supposed to say that. You know, and some believers say, do those things and say those things. They don't feel anything about it. But when I said it, I thought, I shouldn't be saying this. And I had some bad fruit manifest. And the Lord spoke to me about it. He said, well, the reason why that manifests is because of what you said over there. I said, I'm sorry, Lord. I'm not going to do that again. Amen. I hope that's the truth. It's like one guy, remember that one guy said he was repenting over doing something. I forget what he did. I don't know if he told what he did, but he had sinned and he was repenting. And he told God, he said, I'll never do that again. He said, the Lord spoke back to him, said, don't start lying now. Don't go to lying now. But how many of that should be our heart, right? All right, you find Proverbs? Look at verse 25. No, 28. He that has no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. What does that mean? Well, it's just talking about in the old days how they'd put walls around the cities for protection. See? So the enemy couldn't just come right in. So it's saying your life is like that. If you can't control yourself, you're going to be an open door for the devil. He can come and go as he wills. Amen. And all the prayer won't do any good. You can get in all the prayer lines. It won't do any good until you change. You know, you can take your Bible, hit yourself in the head. Just keep doing it. Keep doing it. Keep doing it. Get in the prayer line. Say, Pastor, I have a headache. Can you help me? Yes. Stop that. You don't need prayer. You need to quit doing what you're doing. Let's close. Hallelujah. How many got something out of that? You got to quit doing what you're doing. You don't need prayer. You need to just quit it. Amen. I've told people before, you can't talk like that and stay married. You can't talk to one another that way. You won't stay married. They didn't, did they? They didn't listen, did they? Did they stay married? Did I tell them that?
Yeah.
I did. But they went out of my office and kept talking to one another that way. I told them, you can't do that. You got to stop it. It can't be wrong because it feels so right. I don't care how right it feels, it's wrong. It may feel good to chew them out every now and then, but it's wrong. Stand up, everybody. Let my people go. Hallelujah. All right, praise God. You survived it. Amen. How many got something tonight? So you have to understand, this has something to do with authority. Are you submitted to God's authority? Are you submitted to God's authority? What happens when a policeman goes bad? He loses his authority when he gets found out. He had authority, but he's got to stay submitted, right, to the city. Amen. Father, thank you for the word tonight. Help all of us, myself included, to stay submitted to your authority, because you're the source of our authority. We don't have any authority outside of you. Our authority comes because we're in Christ. We're in Jesus. Help us to stay submitted, even in the small things that sometimes maybe we think isn't, you know, big. Like there's a lot of Christians think, well, going to church, take it or leave it. And then they have all kinds of issues with the devil and don't understand why. Well, they're not submitted. They're not submitting their lives. Help us to even see the small things, like Song of Solomon says, the little foxes that spoil the vines. Help us to see those things. You agree with that?
Amen.
Lord, as we go tonight, we thank you for Psalm 91 over us, protecting us, and for healing and health for us, and soundness in our minds and bodies. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right, we'll see you Sunday morning, if not before.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.